welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am with Clint Rutkus. Clint, you're kind of our Brian Keller whenever Brian Keller's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm the proxy Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez, and Brian Keller's actually going to be giving a keynote at a DevDiv All Hands.
Yeah.
So he freaked out and said, hey, why don't we just...
Yeah, so he threw me under the bus.
Yes! that's exactly what he did. And Brian's going to be traveling for a bunch, too.
Yeah, he was out last week at Tech at Brazil.
Yeah, so people are asking, Brian has not died, has not been captured by those evil people at Cloud Cover, who are enemies of the show. You should have seen the emails going around. It's going to maybe a dance-off. It's getting tense. I know.
I can bring in the floating Keller head one of these days again.
Yeah, actually, that would be kind of freaky, but at the same time, I'd like to have it. So jumping in, lots of stuff. We got Windows Phone 7, this announcement is VB support.
Yes, it's a CTP for Visual Basic for Windows Phone 7. A lot of people were always wondering, like, where is VB support? Supposedly the languages are supposed to be equal, but why wasn't there support here? And now they just rolled it out. It was, you know, product teams have to spend... set priorities, and this was one of the things, was let's just get one version of the tooling out, and here's now the other.
Yeah, so Soma had a blog on this that kind of goes on the overview. Jason's here actually gives you a tutorial how to actually use the tools. Now, these are Visual Studio tools. Things you got to remember, you got to have the 2010 RTM tools installed.
Yeah.
Or whatever the CTP, or the RTM version of the Windows Phone Developer tools installed. And then you install this. You don't have Blend support, and you don't have XNA support, because they're not enabling XNA development with Visual Basic.
Yeah.
So things to remember. And the other thing is there is no Go Live license for this VB CTP, and they're not saying, you know, what the status is or when that's going to be. They're just not responding, but a lot of people are asking those kind of questions. So
yeah.
But things to remember, things to play with.
And here's the ASP.NET security vulnerability. This was big news a couple days ago, and Scott Guthrie, I know Scott Hanselman, were posting saying, hey guys, we're aware of this, we're working toward a fix, but here's the workaround to help close the hole as a temporary solution.
So the way this works is, and I'm not a security expert, you can read the thing, but it basically asks for some encryption information, keeps making requests, and based on the status error code, you can then use that to decipher what somebody's code is, to say, understand what the view state is for a page and so forth. So the fix is, instead of sending specific error code information back, is to have all errors redirect to one page. So like a 404, a 500, you name the HTTP URL. So you can go through Scott. Scott has also done an update that has a FAQ on this as well. So a lot of ASP.NET hosters are actually emailing customers and letting them know. And there is a VB script file that you can use to run whether you're vulnerable to this attack. So
nice.
This is like what you can use to know whether you're vulnerable to this. And obviously the ASP.NET team is working on even more on their on this, and there's been a bunch of folks, you know, working late on this stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, let's go next. Okay, so this is the Inside Windows Phone number 5, the Silverlight Toolkit, and this goes around showing about the date picker, the time picker, gives you context menu, toggle switch, wrap panel, and gesture services. So the nice thing is this is a one place to go where now you can get a bunch of controls that people are like, I want this.
Yeah.
The big ones for me were a date picker and a time picker.
Yeah, yeah.
Another nice thing is like the gesture support. Now you know if someone's just tapping, tap and hold. The flicking, rather than having to roll my own every time.
Yeah, which is, you know, we did do that, which is the tap and hold, which is start an event, wait for a specific time, and do that. So at least now it's consistent. And David Anson's in this video, and we feel like are covering David's blog posts all the time. So, and this is all in the Silverlight Toolkit.
Yes, which is a...
free CodePlex project.
Yeah, Silverlight. CodePlex.com?
Yes. So. Or Silverlight Toolkit. One of those.
I think it's silverlight.codeplex.com.
I think so, too. Final answer? We'll find out. We should have phone a friend here. It'd be hilarious if there was just a phone where we could just call somebody up. Sometimes Larry's in the back and we ask him. But talking ragdoll for WP7. So what is this?
So this is Andy. I'm going to totally
Bellaloo.
Bot
the guy. I always. Bellaloo.
Bellaloo. Bellaloo. Okay. And he created a cool little ragdoll app where you can go in and trace someone's face. And he does. You can put in different points on it to custom do the cropping. Mm-hmm. You tell where the eyeballs and where the mouth is, and it does cool little kind of Monty Python style movement.
Oh, hello! Yeah. Are we going to the kitchen? We need to do this for the Channel 9 guy. Oh, hello!
Yeah, we could.
You don't like our redesign? I don't care!
Stats, who wants stats? and then you can throw stuff at them, and you know, you blow them up with grenades, throw eggs at them. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So definitely check out, watch the YouTube video, and always love the stuff that he's Andy's doing. So
yep, yep.
Cool stuff.
Let's go next.
So another Andy Pinnell, used to be on the C Sharp team back in the day. Goes through updating one of the MSDN library samples on building your first WCF service and talks about the differences on using it in Windows Phone 7. So I think it's like a simple add service that just, you know, yeah, adds like a number, for example. So he goes through it, and the goal is to show developers what they need to do to do the communication via Windows Phone.
Yeah, because it's not as straightforward as it would be in other scenarios.
I'll be honest, WCF is one of those APIs where I'm not a big fan of. In terms of the .NET Spectrum, it's like managed code, I should say, love, and then there's WCF and some other stuff. But so I always have to like relearn WCF, go into WCF mode to work with this stuff. So
yeah, I mean, playing with it, I saw the, when we did the canon, I saw the power of WCF, but sometimes I'm like, I can just roll a web service infinitely faster.
Yeah,
but then when you need the adaptability, boom, that WCF is awesome.
Yep. Yeah,
so
and related to this was John Papa did Silverlight TV, and it's actually a really interesting one because it goes through how to debug WCF services, because there's going to be so many things that you don't know what's going on under the wire. So talks about some of the exception information, how to get information, how to use Fiddler to actually get understand what's going over the wire for a WCF service.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Fiddler is one of those tools where if you don't have it installed, get it, use it, learn it. It just makes your life so much easier.
Yeah, yeah. And the nice thing is Fiddler is one of those things where you kind of have to learn how it works. This will actually show you, at least in one specific scenario, how to debug WCF services to use it.
Great. So the pivot and panorama controls now are live in the released manufacturing tools. So this is a hands-on learning lab by Yohai.
Yep.
And it's going through, you know, step by step on how to actually use it, how to use the pivot and the panorama. And on CodePlex, there is a walkthrough on how to update your the old unofficial panorama and pivot controls into the official ones.
So we did talk about this on the show a long time ago, was phone.codeplex.com had an implementation of pivot and maybe panorama.
It had both, yes.
It had both? Okay. And then I think it was Jeff Wilcox did an article talking about how to take yours and then move it towards the official RTM ones.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
No, I remember on Twitter. I'll get the link. It's on CodePlex. The link is on CodePlex.
Okay, the link is on CodePlex. All right.
So if not, I'm going to get beaten up.
Greg Duncan had a link to this, and this is like one of those classic ones that we always hit, which is, all right, some decimal value, error float value, I need to change it into a dollar sign and have two decimal places. So 553, how do I do it?
It would be, do you want trailing zeros or?
Just two zeros. Has to be just two zeros.
I would do a dollar sign, period, then.
Fail is what you do. You'd fail without this. I think it's like DD in lowercase dot DD.
No, I thought the percentage or the number sign allows it to float, where if you do a zero, if it's a number dot two string.
If only we had a formatting cheat sheet that would show us how to use string.format. format. And that's why I love this.
But you said going from decimal, a decimal number, to .toString versus a string into. They're two different ones.
Well, no, if you toString, you can pass in a format provider.
Yeah.
In a decimal. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think what I said is a valid answer.
Well, I don't know if it's a valid answer. The point is, we can look it up with our formatting cheat sheet. That was the point, which is how esoteric.
Can I write it down on my sleeve so when we have a test?
I love that I put you on the spot and made you fail. That was ever so nice.
Or did I?
Or did you? I think you're probably right. It's going to be hilarious when we console.writeline after this. Somewhat related, found this on .NET Kicks, was a string comparison algorithm. So the idea was to look through, you know, there was a conversation on Stack Overflow. There's a Levenstein distance algorithm. So what that does is looks at how many operations it takes to take one string and take it to another to determine its likeness. So that's great if there's one word.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on a sentence, right?
Okay.
So it's what things they can do, and this allows you to do a full string comparison, so multiple words, you know, the quick brown box, etc. And walks through how to do it using SQL.
Nice. And this is going to help out many college students verify if their papers are going to get nailed for plagiarism.
Yeah, this is how you write the your plagiarism warning score. Microsoft Word should just have this and be like, your document is 50% plagiarized. Maybe we should have that as an IE9 thing. So it's like, you know, bloggers that just steal from other bloggers. This is 90% stolen from Ina Fried on CNET. Yeah. Hey, wow. I think we should nerd out. That's fine, though. Another interesting post was a roundup of free books.
Yes.
So I've talked about The Foundations of Programming by Carl Sagan. I hope I get his name right. But it was pseudocode describing object-oriented programming and best programming practices.
Okay.
So that's definitely one that I would push people to. A lot of other interesting ones. Rob Miles, who we've talked about before, he's done some kind of fun stuff, has a yellow book of C# 2010. Never even heard of that.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting ones. Performance scalability, another one that seems
threading.
Interesting. Yeah.
Everyone needs to understand threading.
Or hopefully in Windows Phone 7 at some point.
Yeah.
We can do multitasking. Actually, that would probably...
It's already a multi-task operating system. People need to get over that. It's just you can't run two users' apps at the same time.
Sure. And picks of the week. So my pick of the week is kudos to War Story. So what it is an MMO strategy game with it feels like a RTS game. So I only got to play a couple of the intro tutorial matches, but the big thing is it's written in Silverlight.
Nice.
So you don't normally see that many games, and this seems like a really, really cool one. So kudos to the dev team, and you can have some fun and you know, reverse engineer this.
So everyone can tell kind of that I'm on a WP7 kick right now.
Yeah, I know. This is a WP7 show.
So there was a... Tim Heuer did a recap of Jeff Wilcox's tweets where he was just on a... just blasting them out. I guess he hit the Twitter limit where he couldn't tweet anymore.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
And he was just going on and on about every little perf thing that someone may not be aware of. Like, if you use a panorama, it looks really nice, but a pivot is actually faster at loading.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the gotchas with memory management, with images, on loading it, like you could have a 30K compressed JPEG image, but at runtime it could be several megs based on the sizing, et cetera, because it has to get made into a bitmap.
Mm.
So stuff like that. Just really, really nice little helpers that he walked through.
Interesting. So is there any way to avoid the 30K compressed JPEG turning into several megs?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
I would
an exercise for the listener.
Yes, I would, you know, a lot of it is being smart on your management. He didn't go into what that actually implied, but what I could imagine is you have a JPEG, a very large JPEG,
Well, he said 30K compressed.
Yeah, you can get a very large JPEG at 30K, But when it goes into the phone, into memory, because it's a large height width, that could be the impact that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He didn't go into that. So that's one of the things where the new RTM dev tooling tells you how much memory you're currently being used, and you can...
The little perf counters, you mean,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Good stuff. And cool. That wraps up this week on Channel 9, and thank you for it.
Thanks for having me.
See ya.